Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Michael Russ, who's known to many people through his very successful worldwide newsletter, and it really does go worldwide. And I'm so pleased to have him as my guest, because I think he's got a whole lot to talk about. Are you there, Michael?
Well, thank you. I'm here.
Can you hear me okay now? You can. That's fine. Okay. I'll tell our listeners that we had a small problem when I spoke to you yesterday, but I'm glad everything seems to be okay. Now, what I must first do, Michael, is before we get chatting, is to tell people that there are call-in numbers. The lines do get rather busy at times, so don't despair if you can't get through straight away. In the USA only, the number is 877-876-5227, and in the USA and Canada, it's 888-815-9756. I'll repeat it once more in case I went too fast and you couldn't get those down. The first number for USA only is 877-876-5227, and for USA and Canada is 888-815-9756. Michael, you are a very energetic person as far as I can see, and I can't imagine where you get all the time from, but let's start at the beginning. When did you first develop an interest in what obviously was your spiritual path, and how did it start?
Well, let me tell you that for me, life didn't begin until literally my death at age 18. I went through a death experience consciously, and during that experience, I was still myself 100%, and I knew that I was given the choice that if I wanted, I could come back into the body and continue with my life work. And that, of course, changed my attitude about everything in life. It was the beginning of my understanding of the fact that I am the soul and not the body or the mind or the feelings that I have.
Yes. So,
Of course, that totally changed the whole picture of my life and where I was. Where I wanted to go and where I needed to go.
Did you then go straight into some sort of spiritual experience which built up to the level that you are at today?
Well, what happened after my death experience is that I started having... Well, let me put it this way. For 30 days after that death experience, I couldn't think a negative thought or have a negative feeling about anyone. It was just everything that I felt and thought was very of a high consciousness about everyone and very positive. And then gradually that kind of just started to fade away, and I went back into the normal three-dimensional human consciousness.
Yeah.
And it took a while, quite a few years, before I started to pick up and realize that I was again wasting my life, because in that death experience, I was not only showing a flashback of every moment of my life, every feeling and thought that I had and where I had failed, but I was also shown two other lifetimes where I had also failed. And looking at the picture of failing three times in a row, I definitely wanted to get back into the body and get the job done. Well,
right, yeah.
Of course, I didn't get back at it right away, and so over the years started passing, and all of a sudden I started to realize that I needed to change my attitudes about everything and to do what I'd come to do.
Yes. So how long is it now since you started your newsletter?
Well, actually, when I was at age... 35, I was so disgusted with civilization that I left it. I literally went to live in a cave, and I did find that cave in Hawaii, and I planned to stay there the rest of the days of my life, because I just I believe that everyone on Earth was just out of their minds because there was nothing but violence and chaos and talk of war and more bombings and things like that. And so I left civilization. I've had, ever since my death experience, I've had a different consciousness in terms of I could tune in or sense things that were going to happen ahead of time, and often I'd get a vision, a pre-vision that would change the whole course of my direction in many instances over the years that had saved my life. But when I was in the cave, I was told very strongly that there was no way that I could vegetate in the cave, and this was a very loud voice speaking to me, that I had to get back to civilization and go on and do my work.
So how long were you a hermit?
Let me say that it took, it was quite a trip. To get to what is called the Valley of the Lost Tribe, I had to cross an old 4,000 mile trail that was 17 miles, but it was 4,000 years old. And to get to that, to the other side of the mountain, it was I had some really horrendous experiences where I was up thousands of feet and there was only a foot or 2 feet of the pathway, and I'd be looking down, and if a stone fell, it took a long time before it hit the bottom. And so when I finally got to the cave, I met a hermit there who was also living in a cave already. Yeah. And he showed me another cave where I could stay. But then when I went to that cave that night, during the night, I had this sudden voice waken me and just tell me that I could not stay there, that I had to turn back and go back to civilization and to educate myself and to help others to understand who they are and what they are. And so that turned me completely around. And the next day, the hermit was very surprised to find out I was going to turn back and go to civilization. But I made my way back, and when I got back, I was led from teacher to teacher to teacher to finally reach a point where I started to, as instructed, to start writing books and teaching others myself.
I see, yes. So evidently, when you had your death experience, you must have had an out-of-the-body experience. Has that happened to you very often?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, you have to differentiate between an out-of-the-body experience and a genuine death experience, because when you have a death experience, you definitely have the flashback of your life. You see everything that you've done. And you judge it, you know, very strongly. I judged everything. There was no God standing beside me saying, well, you know, you did this and you did that.
I was
the judge of what I had done or what I had not done. Yeah. And the biggest thing that I saw in all three of those lifetimes, I was shown just portions of two other. But in those three lifetimes, I had failed to be the love and give the love and understand the love that I needed to share with others.
Yeah.
So the main major point that was made in my consciousness is that I had to come back and not only know who I was and what I was, but to awaken to the fact that I needed to know how to understand what love was and also to take the message to others that they were divine beings.
Yeah, I think that is the message for everyone, is to understand universal love. But I'll just ask the question again, since that time, then, have you had other out-of-the-body experiences? I mean, can you actually leave your body at will?
I wish I could do that at will, but I can tell you that I've had many out-of-the-body experiences. In one case, I was doing lectures for about 10 years straight, and I lectured at a spiritualist church in the state of Washington, and I upset the minister of the church, who was literally fleecing everyone there and really getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from widows and old people that couldn't afford it under absolute fraud. And so I exposed him. And one of the other church members said, hey, you're in danger because I know people that have died because this guy is really a black magician.
Yeah.
And sure enough, about a month later, when I was back at my headquarters, I lay down in the afternoon just to rest a bit, and all of a sudden, boom, I was popped out of my body, and I knew exactly what to do. I felt this threatening force that wanted to sever my life thread, because when you're out of the body, you always have this silver cord that links you whenever you make your astral journeys. And if that cord is severed, well, then you can't get back in the body, and, of course, the body is dead.
Yes,
so I knew immediately that what I had to do was center myself in my Christ consciousness, and I did. And as soon as I did that, the light from my own being just went out in 360 degrees, and it just drove that dark presence so far away from me, like it was 50, 100 yards away. And it was like going around and around the circle and just thrashing and angry and very upset, you know, that it could not get to me. And in the meantime, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I am so happy that I am in the center of my being. And I knew that at some point that it would fade away, and it did. And then I had to figure out how to get back in the body. And fortunately, eyes were partially open, and I could see through my eyes, and I thought, well, if I focus on that knob on that cabinet, that will bring me back in my body. And as soon as I had that thought, quick, I was back in the body. Otherwise, I would not have known, well, how do I get back in? So, you know, it's interesting about out of these body experiences, but there are people. I met the owner of a radio station who wrote quite a few books about astral travel. And after my my chat with the radio talk show host, he had asked to have a private interview with me. And then, of course, we talked for about an hour after the radio show. And this man has been out of the body time and time again and wrote excellent books about it. And he owned the radio station, a large radio station in Virginia. And he knew what he was doing all right.
Yeah.
But anyone can, when you focus on whatever you focus on, that can become your reality. So that was his choice, and this is how he presented that particular light of knowledge to the world, because all of us, in our own way, are doing that.
Yes. Now, Spirit tell us that most of us go out of the body during our sleep state, although apparently not too many people bring back any waking recollection. How do you stand on that?
You mean, give me that question again. I've had a little blur here on my telephone when you're asking that about...
Okay. I will repeat it, yes. Spirit tell us that most people, when they go out of the body during the night, when their body is asleep, that they meet other entities, probably in the higher levels. But when they return to the body, upon awakening, very few people have a waking memory of what they've done during that period. I just wonder whether you have any experiences of that.
I don't mind that we all do leave the body you know, when we fall asleep, but either in small intervals or in larger intervals of time, and that 99.9% of us do not recall those events that transpired during our out of time, out of the body existence. But yes, we do astral travel during our sleep. I'm sure of that.
Yes. So am I. I have an occasional recollection, not very much, I must admit, to speak about. Just moving on a bit, how many years have you been now involved in your newsletter? And what would you class as your most rewarding time since you've started it?
Well, I started my Michael Worldwide newsletter about 10 years ago. that was the beginning, and now there, I have thousands of people around the world that are subscribed to it, and I'll tell you, one of the most beautiful things that happened is when I encountered your channelings, the channelings that you do, Saint Germain and other great beings, the ETs from our galactic neighbors, and I've been, you know, having this, having my own newsletter that goes out daily. I get an immense amount of emails of people saying, "Well, what do you think of this channel and that channel?" And there are so many around the world. But I want to tell you, Mike, that I am very impressed and so happy to be on your program. Because,
that's very nice.
In my estimation, you are absolutely one of the finest, clearest channels with the most uplifting message. And, of course, I am also in alignment with that. When I write books about that I review, book reviews of other writers, I never write a critical review of them in the sense of being critical. If I can't write something good about something or say someone good about someone, why say it? Yeah. And I see that when you channel, you do the same thing. The channeling that comes through you is definitely very uplifting and inspiring to anyone who reads it. Now, always look forward to your daily newsletters. The same as I, you know, when you send me the channeled messages about three times a week, the same as I do to the heaven letters, which Gloria Windruff sits and brings to us every day, and just beautiful metaphors that thrill me through and through.
Yes, I used to, and I still do like the heaven's letters. I do hope that no one can actually see me blushing here, because what you said is most kind, and I feel quite surprised. I do not have a great realization of how people respond to it, but it's very pleasing to hear what you've said.
Mike, that people would be really disappointed if they weren't getting your two or three emails every week from our galactic neighbors and Saint Germain and Atmos and the other great spiritual beings that you are a telepathic source for. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. I'm very pleased that I receive your emails whenever they come in with these transmissions.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so. Now, you certainly got a lot to your credit, and as I said at the start, I'm amazed where you find all the time, because in the course of the week, there have been occasions when you, perhaps for special reasons, you sent out even three newsletters in one day, but where you get the time to write all your books, I do not know. What is your favorite book?
Well, you know, Mike, I do like to put in a 14 or 16-hour day in front of the computer every day whenever possible. And it's no surprise if I do that 30 days in a row.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think doing what we love to do, and I do, I love what I do, and I do what I love, and when you do that, everything is just wonderful. You know, it's you're inspired, you're charged with energy, and what needs to be done is done. You know, I have about 20 e-books that I've now made available, because it's so important, I think, that the light of knowledge is transmitted to other people who are awakening and wanting to know what they can do to further their own enlightenment, and those of us who have gone a little further along the path can definitely help others by telling them what we know.
Yes, absolutely. So, out of the books you've written, which is the one that really gave you a lot of pleasure in writing?
Well,
can't you really pick one out?
In its own sense. each book that I write, I'm inspired when I write it, and it becomes the best book that I have written at that moment, because that's the way I feel about it. But you know, the book that has outlasted all books, and it's just amazing, is it was the second book that I wrote. I wrote the Why and How of Meditation, which was the first introduction to the concepts behind what is known as the secret today, because I knew it was important that people understood who they were and how to connect with that divine inner goddess and God self that each and one of us are. And so I wrote that book, and I had the guidance of my master teacher and master mentor, Joao Ku, who dictated all of the Alice A. Bailey books. Yeah. And so that book was the first book, but the second book was my book on about soulmates, called Finding Your Soulmate. And in that book, I introduced the concept of soulmates when the word was not known in mass consciousness at all. And this was in 1970. And now it's on the lips and minds of everyone on Earth, practically. So, you know, it tells you how an idea, when its time has come, will come.
Yeah.
And I was a channel for that particular concept at that time. And that book, Finding Your Soulmate, is still in 12 languages today, and the sequel that I wrote too is in 13 languages, called Your Soulmate is Calling. But people do want to find that special loved one, or their soulmate, or their twin ray, because when you're in companionship with others in a marriage situation of any kind, that's how you grow. You learn by that person who is a reflector, and we learn by reflecting or absorbing. So it's a wonderful life. I've enjoyed writing all the various books that I've written.
Yeah,
especially the one called There Is No Secret. The secret is no secret anymore.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because my impression was that was really very popular at the time. It appeared on a lot of videos.
Yes, absolutely.
There were a lot of emails flying around about it. So
absolutely.
That certainly, I think, struck a chord with people.
It did strike a chord, and it was meant to, because, but, you know, this has happened with other waves of consciousness and civilization. Madame Blavatsky wrote The Secret Doctrine back in the 80s, 1880s and 90s, and it was an incredible revelation of what the secret is, the ancient doctrines. And with this wonderful young lady that brought the secret to our consciousness in this modern day time, has done is brought that same type of information that all of us need to understand. But, you know, one thing that I noticed, I think I had mentioned this to you or to someone else, that most of these writers have failed to make the major point, which is the core of the secret. And that is that each and every one of us is a god or a goddess, and that we are divine beings. And unless that is expressed, all of these mental teachings that are telling us how to do this and become this and be that or have that have no value, because unless you're centered in your own being and know who you are, these other things mean nothing, because what we take with us from lifetime to lifetime is that information that is centered in our being, the love that we know, and the light that we spread from our own being.
And I would guess the fact that we can accept that we are a part of God, and therefore, as you said, are gods or goddesses, means that we're not limiting ourselves in any way.
No, we're not limiting ourselves in any way. I missed the first part of that sentence that you had here. One of the problems with my listening on the phone now is I've doubled the volume in order to make sure that I heard you. And the voice does resonate a lot, so I have to listen very carefully one way or the other to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But
what
you're referring to is if we're centered, that we then are be able to understand everything much better. Is that right, or am I on a different track?
I'm just thinking here that unless we believe that we are, have the potential to become gods or goddesses, we're limiting our ability perhaps to grow. So we need to believe in that and allow ourselves to sort of flow very freely.
Yes, Mike, I'm glad you stated it just the way that you did, because see, this is the point that I want to make that is very strong. There's a vast difference between believing and knowing. And what the secret is all about is going beyond yourself at a thinking or believing level to a point where you know who and what you are, and that, of course, is that divine extension or expansion of the one God creator source. And when you know that you are that, and when you understand that, that knowing is totally different than believing. Believing is a whole world apart. In fact, it's a part of what the mind is dealing with. But when you get to knowing, you're working with the heart. You're working with the center or the core of what you are and who you are. And these vast differences can be sensed. And you can move from a belief into the knowing of who you are by calling forth that faith inside of yourself, of trust in that oneness. And what needs to be understood at the mental level is that we are an extension or an expansion of God's self. As soon as that is understood, then you know that you're a child of God. And if you understand that and you focus on that and hold that in your consciousness, then everything around you is going to radiate that new light, that new love, that pure love that is inside of your heart and soul. It's just a wonderful experience, and people that are awakening all over the world are doing that because they are moving into the center of their being through their heart, not through their mind.
Yeah.
So I hope that I've made that point clear.
Absolutely, yes. And I feel that as people awaken and bring more light to the earth, they're creating an energy that must seek its expression very soon. And I think regardless of the dark energies that are around, the light will have its day, as one might say.
Oh, absolutely. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind. In fact, one of my books, is called The Birth of Earth Star.
Yes.
Because this is where we're going. It's a destiny that is fulfilled, and Earth is going to ascend whether humanity does or not. But we changed the whole course of what would have happened about 60 years ago or 50 years ago. And since that time, there have been enough of us who are doing the pioneering work in the light work field that have awakened others, so that considerable amounts of people have awakened all over the world. Back in 1974, I put together one of the first really, really huge what is now called spirit, mind, body type of events. I rented the Dallas Convention Center, and I had all these incredible speakers. I had over 100 speakers from all over the world. It was called the Dallas Psychic Arts Fair.
Yeah.
And one of the key speakers was called his name is Noel Street. He used to travel with Edgar Casey. You know, he said, boy, he said, I can't tell you when he saw these thousands of people milling around. I had an auditorium that seated 5,000 people and 11 tracks of people speaking on the hour for 7 days.
Nice.
And he said, this is so unbelievable. He said, when Edgar Casey and I were here, about 20 years ago, he said, we had 6 people show up. And, you know, Noel Street can do just exactly what Edgar Casey could do, as well as about 8 other people that Edgar Casey had asked to discover others around the world that could do life readings and all of the wonderful things that he, as a great pioneer, did for humanity.
Yeah.
He was known as a sleeping prophet. I'm sure you
Absolutely.
Know that.
Yes.
And the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, was founded in Virginia Beach based on all the readings. And after I wrote the book, Weinhoff Meditation, and I then traveled to Virginia Beach because I wanted to read all of the various readings that are housed there at the library at the ARE in Virginia Beach. And I found Virginia Beach to be this incredible place of where people were being attracted from all over the world. And Edgar Casey certainly was an incredible, incredible presence.
Absolutely.
And so when Noel Street told me only 6 people were there, and he said he was so pleased to see people waking up now and that people were finally coming, I thought, wow, this is terrific. And it just spurred me on further because I went on to put together another 2 or 3 of those events in the next year or two.
Right. I have to say that Edgar Casey was most important in my life because when I was seeking my spiritual path, it was through Edgar Casey's writings that I tracked back to Atlantis and Lemuria. And it was through that, really, that my life got started. So I do owe him some thanks. But what I wanted to ask you in that connection is, you're probably aware that there is a website now which is run by a person who claims to be the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. Did you know that?
No, I wasn't aware of that, but that wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me any... by their fruits they are known, so we will see, right?
Yes.
Well, that's the way it always goes.
I've read his work, and I must say it does feel right, and it sounds very convincing. I'll have to put you in touch with the website address, and you can have a look at that one for yourself. I would be interested
to know what you think. I'd be very happy to get that website address and I'll probably share it with my subscribers, too.
Yes, yes. I have a personal friend who actually went to the ARE, and you made me smile when you said you wanted to go there and read all these readings, because you must have been there for a couple of years.
I was there a long time. I was off and on in Virginia Beach for about 20 years.
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
But of course, you can't
all the time I was doing my cross-country lectures, 10 solid years, almost every day or every other day I'd have a lecture at one town or city or another, and I did 500 of these kind of radio and television talk shows during those 10 years. So I was spreading the word to millions of people during that time, and... it was a fun time. I loved it, and I always loved getting back to Virginia Beach because it had a special feeling every time I was there.
Right.
I could almost tell by the moment I got into the city limits that it felt different.
Yeah.
There was a sense of calmness, of peace, and it had an energy of its own.
Yes. I can't imagine how many people your work must have helped. I'm sure one day you're going to be absolutely astonished at the numbers of souls that owe some thanks to yourself. I mean, I think you do some wonderful work, and what you said about being very satisfied in the work you're doing comes over very strongly. I want to move on a little bit. Before we come off your book side, there was a time going back, not very long, when your God and Miracle Health book was on a free download. Is that still available to people?
Absolutely. You know, I've been, my whole life, I've been interested in both the spiritual side and also the health side, because
yeah.
At one point during all of this teachings that I'm giving, I realized, wait a minute, when people are sick, and have aches and pains, they can't focus on being centered and spiritual. It's a real struggle just to stay alive and to stay out of pain. And so I then stopped doing the regular teaching I was doing, and I made a switch. And I mean, it was an instant switch in starting to teach some people about what I knew to be the best health avenues around at that time. And I got involved in the health field strongly. And since then, I've looked at hundreds and hundreds of various products. And I have found miracle products in the real sense of that word. So I do have a book called God and Miracle Health.
Yeah.
And there is a free download of that first book, and it's 163 pages, and it's about Clayton Teddington's incredible miracle products. I've used those products for 10 years, Neutralizer, Miracle Soap. I mean, these are non-poisonous products that are just incredible, with hundreds and hundreds of testimonials, and so they're loaded in that book. And
yes.
That's book one, and book two of God and Miracle Health can also be obtained at the same website. So if you give that website information, anyone listening can surely go there and download a copy of the miracle products side of this book, and you'll be amazed and you'll be astounded. And like myself, I'm sure you'll want to be using those products. I don't sell these products. I don't make any profits off these products. But I do know the products that are working and that aren't working. And it is a definite miracle product, just like in book two, the MMS product by Jim Humble is an incredible product. That in one case, there was a clinic in Africa that had 393 AIDS patients, and every single one of the 393 AIDS patients no longer had the AIDS 8 months later. The best part of it is, within 4 days, 60% of that 393 people, their AIDS were gone. And in addition to that, Jim Humble spent a lot of time helping people in Africa already, and over 75,000 people using this miracle MMS product, which costs pennies literally a day to use, are now free of malaria. So I'm really backing Jim Humble in every possible way that I can. And Jim Humble wrote a book about his product, and he gave me a carte blanche permission to use anything and everything out of his book about what the product is and how it works and so forth. And so I have all of that information in book two. And
that's
anyone who wants to get that information can certainly get it there at the website.
That is wonderful. Now, are you talking about the exciting news that I only received today about your new website, Russ Michael eBooks?
Yes, I'm talking about... You have to go to www.russmichaelebooks.com. That's the website where you can get a free download of God and Miracle Health. So I hope everyone listening here will do that. And I urge you, once you've done that, to tell your uncles, your cousins, your aunts, your friends, yeah. and everyone else, too, because it's how the word is spread. And, you know, Jim, I just got a recent email from Jim Humble, actually, yesterday, and he has now reached a point where, by making his book available, too, his income has grown to a point where he's able to go back to Africa and carry on a very huge campaign to help people with AIDS. And I'm sure with this MMS product, he's going to really make a big, big difference in AIDS in Africa. And there's 40 million people on Earth today that have AIDS. So this MMS product needs to be known by everybody possible.
Right, yes. That's wonderful news. I'm glad I mentioned that one.
I'm glad you did too. Thanks.
Right. We've still got quite a little bit of time in hand, but I do usually take a few minutes at the end to introduce my guests for next week. But what I'd like to ask you about is some more what you might call topical subjects, which I know are close to your heart. What do you think about the many conspiracy theories that are going around? Do you have strong feelings that the Illuminati, say in the way of George Bush, Dick Cheney, are responsible?
Are you talking about 9/11 and these kinds of things that are happening, the Watergate?
That's right,
These types of so-called conspiracies?
Yes.
I can, in my heart and soul, there's absolutely no doubt that that our own U.S. regime is behind that. You know, there's so much evidence that's been gathered around that has been suppressed. You know, we don't have a free press.
No.
We have a controlled press all over the world today. You know, the TV stations, the radio stations.
Yeah.
Used to be owned by lots of people. Now just a couple of people, a few people own them. And the news media definitely has been blocked from giving us any information. They just feed us with everything that is horrendous and caters to war and sending our children to die and you know for their welfare.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, when you conspiracies going on behind the scene, there's definitely a very, very dark cabal influence that has been behind the scenes going back thousands of years that are behind different religious movements and where, you know, the control of the people is the main objective by the same group that today has become the big force in the world. I mean, they are controlling. They call themselves the Illuminati, which is really ridiculous because there's nothing illuminated or bright about what they're doing. In fact, it's just the opposite.
Yes.
It's the darkest of the dark.
Yes.
But, you know, they have their plan to control the world and make it a one-world world, and there is the plan that you and I know about, and our galactic neighbors are certainly there to help us to make it come true, and this is God's plan. This is the plan that I know and that I believe in and that I base my book, The Birth of Earth as a Star, upon, because this plan is the plan that nothing can stop. This is the plan that is involved with what we know as end times. And end times doesn't mean that the world is going to disappear. It means the old consciousness and the old war and disharmony is going to go. And this, we're going to live in a golden age of peace, joy, and love. And people will actually be able to move into other dimensions of consciousness without losing the physical body. Immortality...
Yes.
is definitely on the horizon for most of us who want to have that experience. And there are many of us who are going to be move into that immortal body state. I knew this for myself, and I've said it probably thousands of times at my lectures and on my radio programs in this lifetime. I am definitely ascending the body without dropping the body in physical death. Yeah. And it's no surprise to me that we're right on the very edge now, the cusp of the golden age, because before 2012, things are going to happen. And at any moment, any hour, we can get an announcement that's going to say, you know, we are here, and we are agents of the Christ, and we are working on behalf of the Christ and great light beings, and we are your galactic brothers and sisters, and your present government regime has been removed from office and has been replaced with individuals who are very capable of looking for your rights and reinstoring the Constitution. It's going to happen. Count on it.
Absolutely, I agree. You've heard.
Yeah, I know
recently.
We're running out of time fast here, so you know, I'll stop talking, and you take the helm.
I will. Yes, indeed. Well, I'm talking about things that are happening at the moment, and no doubt you've heard about this incident in the Gulf with the Iranian speedboats. When they challenged the American craft in there. You're familiar with that one, presumably.
With which one?
Well, the incident that happened in the Gulf, not too far from Iran, and the gunboats, I think they were, of the Iranians challenged the Americans to identify themselves. Well, what I wondered, since, as you mentioned, the press is largely censored and controlled by the Illuminati, here in England, we heard that the Pentagon announced that the voice which uttered the threat may not have come from the Iranian boats at all, but another ship. And my immediate thought was, one might bet that this was someone trying to create a false flag opportunity to start yet another war. And I wondered if what you thought about that.
I'm in agreement with what you're thinking. That's, you know, there's really been no real cause for war ever. It's always been something that's been set up, and I'm talking about going back through history.
Yes.
Things have been set up purposefully and intentionally to benefit both sides of the war and, you know, in today's marketplace, so that everybody benefits in terms of the Illuminati and the Dark Cabal, because they sell munitions to both sides. They every time a bomb goes off, it puts another dollar or a hundred or a thousand or a million in their pocket.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And understanding that, you know that anyone who goes to war to fight for their country is not fighting for their country. They're better off being at home and speaking up and standing up and saying what they know and what they believe, and not allowing the government to take over, because everything should be done legally, and these people will be legally removed from office, I'm sure. And it'll be sooner than most people think. That's what I think.
I agree with you entirely, Michael. I wondered whether somewhere down the line, whether this Watergate affair might actually see the end of the Illuminati, but it seems to drag on, doesn't it?
Well, you know, things have been dragging on, as you would put it, and everyone else would put it, for the last 10, 15 years. And, you know, we've been moving towards an Nasara, which is no longer that same type of an Nasara situation, and the Watergate is also one of these same things. But it takes a lot of effort and planning to bring about this the end of the game, so to speak, and when it happens, it's going to happen in such a way that it will be absolutely legal and cannot be contested. And in order to set that situation up, it's got to be the people that are doing this, the allies of our galactic neighbors who are here on Earth, know what they're doing, and they're following plans. They know exactly what the dark forces are doing all the time, and are always a step ahead of them in one way or another, so that it keeps just tightening the noose around their neck more and more every day, and this is what's happening. So at one moment it's going to happen, and then we'll have that announcement saying that they've been arrested, they're gone, and new people are in their place. That'll include congressmen, bankers, a lot of people.
I agree.
That's what I think.
Yes, I agree with you there. And I think...
I'd like to say one last thing on that point. I believe Christopher Story is an incredible, incredible patriot of this earth, and also so is Wanta and Cottrell, who is helping Wanta to get that money back and into circulation that can be used by we the people.
They're very brave people, I think, and it takes people with a lot of courage to step forward and come into the limelight when they're working on the side of the light, I think.
Well, you know, the light, we are protected, I can guarantee you that. I know from my own experience when I went out of the body and I went to my center and that light drove the dark force away. I've never doubted the fact that when I put a tube of dazzling white light around me that is invincible and impenetrable, that's what it is. And that applies to all of us. We have that. You know, maybe you don't know, but Kennedy was warned. So was Martin Luther. They were warned and told by our ET neighbors that they shouldn't go where they were going, but they listened to their advisors instead, and this is what happened. We have free choice, and when we read about these incidents where people are assassinated, it's because they didn't follow the directions they were given, because free choice is never violated.
Right. Michael, I've got to the point in the program where I'm going to seize my extra 2.5 minutes because we were that much late starting. It's been a fantastic interview, and you're extremely interesting. I want to tell our listeners that you will, in fact, be back again, all being well, on the 22nd of February, so we can continue our talk with you then, and who knows what might have happened in the meantime. But it leaves it for me to say thank you very much, Michael, for coming onto the program. It's been very enjoyable for me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
I look forward to coming back.
I'm sure we all look forward to having you on here again. So I will now announce my guest for next week. It is Vaishali, who is into the power of positive thinking. She is a national speaker. And on her personal side, she overcome near-paralyzing, life-threatening diseases, the loss of a beloved mother figure who was murdered when she was at the age of 10, and she turned her life around to become a success through her new book, which is called You Are What You Love. And I'll quickly tell you that what happened was she learned to recognize only one power, and that is the power of divine love and wisdom. So she also sounds as though she's going to be a very, very interesting guest. So I hope you'll be with me next week. And I will thank you all for being with myself and Michael today. So I will say God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's clear to me.